Welcome to the teaching ministry of Daybreak Community Church. They invite you to join them for worship at 10 a.m. Sunday morning at 342 Nold Avenue in downtown Worcester. More information is at dccworcester.org. Here's Pastor Richard Frazier bringing real hope to real people from Daybreak Community Church.
Good morning, my friends. I'm Pastor Richard Frazier from Daybreak Community Church in downtown Worcester. We're glad you could join us here on 104.5 The River. Before we jump into today's special message, let us prepare our hearts for the reading of today's scripture.
Good morning, Daybreak. This morning, Pastor Rich is starting a new sermon series. It is called A Journey to Pentecost. And the title for this first sermon is Doubt in Belief. So whenever we hear doubt, who do we think of? Thomas, yeah, he gets a bad rap, doesn't he? But anyway, Pentecost represents like 50 days between Passover and when they celebrated Pentecost. So Pentecost is 50 days, right? Jews called this the Feast of Weeks. Acts chapter 2 is when Peter will give a sermon on the day of Pentecost, you know, because all Jews from around the world had gathered there. Now, we're not going to Acts 2 today. This is a journey to Pentecost. So we're going to get there eventually. But today we're going to focus on Thomas, right? And this idea of like, in today's message, Pastor Rich is going to tell us that faith is not always easy. And it wasn't always easy for the apostles, right? Not just Thomas doubting, you know, wanting to touch the wounds in Jesus' hand and side, right? All of the apostles faced fear. And this is especially on the night when Jesus was betrayed. Scripture tells us that they all fled. They all fled. Peter would deny Jesus three times, right? So think about this journey to Pentecost. On the night Jesus is betrayed, right, when they had the Passover meal, they were filled with fear and they fled, right? Every one of them fled, and Judas betrayed Jesus. But by the time we reach Pentecost, we're going to discover a transformation of these apostles. They are out there publicly, speaking boldly, preaching boldly, right? But that is Pentecost. We are not there yet, right? As the one sermon said about Good Friday, Friday's here, but Sunday's coming, right? Fear and fleeing are here, but Pentecost is coming. So the passage that Pastor Rich wants to use as a springboard for this lesson about doubt and belief is from 2 Timothy chapter 1, and I'm going to be reading verse 7. So 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, and this is what the Apostle Paul writes. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and self-discipline. God did not give us a spirit of timidity. Amen. Pastor Rich.
Thank you, Bobby, for the reading of God's word. Well, good morning, church. I hope you all had a wonderful Easter celebration last Sunday. Easter is a day of great joy, a day when we boldly proclaim, He is risen. But what happens after Easter? What happens when the excitement fades and we return to the routines of everyday life? For the disciples, Easter didn't immediately erase their fear uncertainty, or questions. They had seen the empty tomb, but they still struggled to understand what it all meant. And one of them, Thomas, wasn't even there when Jesus first appeared. When the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord," Thomas refused to believe. He needed proof. Thomas's reaction is often criticized, but if we're honest, haven't we all wrestled with doubt? Haven't we all faced moments where faith felt difficult? Today, as we begin this seven-week journey from Easter to Pentecost, we're looking at this encounter in John chapter 20, verses 19 through 31, where Jesus appears to his disciples and in his grace meets Thomas in his doubts. And as we study this passage, we'll see that doubt isn't the end of faith. It's often the beginning of deeper trust in Jesus. Now let us look at what it says in John chapter 20, verses 19 through 31. On the evening of the first day of the week, when the disciples were together, when the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Now, that is a lot of verses, so let's break it down and study each part of it. The first part we're going to look at today is the fear of the disciples, John chapter 20, verses 19 through 23. Now, as so many of us can attest to, fear can be paralyzing. It can keep us locked away, isolated, uncertain, and hesitant to move forward. That's exactly where we find the disciples in John chapter 20, verse 19. Just days earlier, they had witnessed the crucifixion of Jesus. Their world had been shattered. Now they're gathered in a locked room, fearing that they too might be arrested or even killed. Grief, doubt, and uncertainty filled the space. But in their fear, Jesus comes to them. Without warning, he appears in their midst and speaks the very words they desperately need to hear. "Peace be with you," John chapter 20, verse 19. Imagine the flood of emotions, shock, joy, and perhaps even guilt for having abandoned him. But instead of rebuke, Jesus offers assurance. He shows them his hands and side as proof of his resurrection, confirming that he is alive. Jesus does not just calm their fears, he gives them ongoing purpose. He calls them to move beyond fear, to get unstuck. As John chapter 20, verse 21 says, "As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." We can't miss this moment. Jesus is shifting the disciples from fear to mission. From fear to mission. He breathes on them and says, "Receive the Holy Spirit." This act foreshadows Pentecost, which is Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, when the Holy Spirit will empower them fully for the mission ahead. It also echoes Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, where God breathes life into Adam, symbolizing a new life for the disciples in Christ. This is such a huge point that we are called to get unstuck and move into new life with Christ. And here's the kicker. Here's the icing on the cake. No matter who you are, that means all of you here today, God has a purpose for your life. God has a purpose for your life. Amen? Amen. You see, Jesus' presence transforms their fear into faith. The same promise is for us today. When we are locked in fear, Jesus comes to us. He offers peace, renews our purpose, and empowers us through his Spirit. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and self-discipline. As Bobby read in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. So no matter what uncertainties we face, we can trust that Jesus meets us where we are, speaks peace into our hearts, and calls us forward in faith. And yet, for as awesome as this reality is, there are many of us who still wrestle with doubt and uncertainty. And that takes us to the second part of today's message. Thomas's doubt and honest struggle. John chapter 20, verses 24 and 25. Now let me state this fact we have all experienced for ourselves. Faith is not always easy. I know I can get an amen on that. Faith is not always easy. Amen. Even when we know the truth, there are moments when doubt creeps in, especially when we feel like we've missed out an encounter with God. And that's exactly where we find Thomas. John chapter 20, verse 24 tells us that Thomas, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus first appeared. We don't know where he was, but we do know that when the others tell him the incredible news, we have seen the Lord, he refuses to believe without seeing for himself. His response is a passionate one. Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. John chapter 20, verse 25. Now, Thomas has often been labeled as doubting Thomas. But perhaps that is a little unfair. What if he's not rejecting faith? What if he's wrestling with it? He is honest about his struggle, just as many of us are when we face suffering, unanswered prayers, or seasons of uncertainty. With all that said, take notice of this. Thomas does not walk away from the other disciples. He does not allow his doubt to push him into isolation. He stays. And this is a crucial lesson. Faith struggles best in community. When we wrestle with doubt, one of the worst things we can do is cut ourselves off from other believers. Scripture reminds us, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful, and let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 23 through 25. Now here's the point. Even in his doubt, Thomas stayed connected. You get that? Even in his doubt, Thomas stayed connected. And because he remained with the disciples, he was in the right place when Jesus came again. His story reminds us that God is not afraid of our questions. When we bring our doubts to him instead of running away, we put ourselves in a position to encounter his truth in a powerful way. That takes us to the third part of today's message. Jesus meets Thomas where he is. Jesus meets Thomas where he is. John chapter 20, verses 26 through 29. Here is the good news, my friends. God is not distant from our doubts. He meets us in them. One week after Thomas had expressed his struggle, the disciples were gathered again, and this time Thomas was with them. Once more, Jesus appears, standing among them despite the locked doors, and he speaks the same words of comfort. Peace be with you. But this time, his message has a specific focus. Jesus turns directly to Thomas and invites him to do exactly what he had demanded just days earlier. Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe. John chapter 20, verse 27. Now, notice what Jesus does not do. He doesn't rebuke Thomas for his doubt. He doesn't shame him for asking questions. Instead, he meets Thomas where he is and offers the very proof Thomas had requested. This moment is a powerful reminder that God is not afraid of our honest struggles. Scriptures tell us, a bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. Isaiah chapter 42, verse 3. Jesus is compassionate toward those who wrestle with faith. He doesn't demand blind belief. He reveals himself to those who seek him. Then comes the fourth part of today's message, Thomas's declaration of faith. Upon encountering Jesus, Thomas doesn't hesitate. He moves from doubt to declaration. My Lord and my God, John chapter 20, verse 28. This statement is huge. It is the clearest recognition of Jesus' divinity from one of his own disciples. Thomas no longer just sees Jesus as his teacher. He now recognizes him as God himself. This story reminds us that honest doubt can lead to deeper faith. Some of the greatest believers in Scripture wrestled with uncertainty. Abraham, Moses, Job, and others. Yet God met each one in their struggle and strengthened their faith. We must remember in this season after Easter to trust the process with God. As we finish today, remember, Thomas demanded proof, but what he received was something even greater. Thomas received a personal encounter with the risen Jesus. And in that moment, his doubt turned into devotion, his uncertainty to belief. And in return, Jesus spoke a blessing that reached far beyond that room, extending to every believer who would come after. Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. John chapter 20, verse 29. You know what? That blessing is for us. We have not stood in that room or touched his scars, yet we believe. We trust in the testimony of Scripture and the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. As Paul reminds us, we walk by faith, not by sight. And Jesus assures us that our faith is not in vain. He is near, even when we struggle to see him. So what do we do when we wrestle with uncertainty? Thomas stayed with the disciples, even in his doubt. He didn't isolate himself. In the same way, we need to stay connected to the body of Christ. The church is a place to ask questions, to grow, and to find strength in community. Like Thomas, we need to be honest with God, bringing our doubts before him, knowing he welcomes our struggles and responds with grace. We may not see Jesus in the flesh, but we see him at work in our lives. We see him at work in Scripture and in the stories of those who have encountered his grace. Daybreak Community Church, faith is not about having every answer. It's about choosing to trust the one who does. If you're struggling with doubt today, know that Jesus is not disappointed in you. He is patient. He invites you to come close, to see the evidence of his love, and to believe. And for those who already believe, let this passage remind you of the blessing that comes from trusting in the risen Christ, even when we cannot see him. Let us reflect upon his message, and God bless you. I personally want to say thank you for listening to today's message. I pray that the message challenged you and blessed you. Daybreak Community Church is a non-denominational church located at 342 Nold Avenue in downtown Worcester, and Sunday morning services are at 10 a.m. in person and on 104.5 The River. It is such a blessing for me to share God's truth with you each and every week. If you'd like to donate to our ministry, you can now do that online at dccworcester.org. That's dccworcester.org. Daybreak Community Church, dccworcester.org. All gifts are completely tax exempt and most definitely appreciated. Again, thank you all for taking the time to listen today, and thank you for supporting our ministry. God bless you.
We've got a few minutes extra this morning at the end of today's special message from Pastor Richard Frazier in Daybreak Community Church. So, Pastor Rich, while we have a minute, tell us a little bit more about what the Worcester Hope Center is all about and what you do.
The Worcester Hope Center was started back in 2011 by six people who just wanted to help out the community, and God was in the middle of that idea. And we started out as a hygiene pantry, and now we are Wayne County's largest food pantry. So there's been a lot of doors that opened along the way that got it to this point. God has been amazing in the growth of the Worcester Hope Center. The Worcester Hope Center offers a weekly food pantry, Wednesdays from 12 to 3, Thursdays from 6 to 8 p.m., and Fridays from 10 a.m. to noon. And then we also offer a senior box program called the CSFP program, and that is in partnership with the Akron Canton Regional Food Bank. Seniors can sign up to get a box of food once a month from us. And we also offer a mobile food pantry. We go out into the community to areas that have a greater need that are a little further away from Worcester, like Ripman and West Salem. And we do that in the spring and summer. We still have our hygiene pantry on the first Monday of every month from 8:30 to 11:30 a.m. We also do a backpack of food program for students in the school systems. We actually serve five different school districts, and we probably serve about 500 students a week throughout the school year with bags of food.
How many people typically do you serve at the food pantry?
Well, at the food pantry, we serve on a weekly basis, we average about 400 families.
And how can all of us find out more about the Worcester Hope Center?
Well, they could check us out on our website at worcesterhopecenter.org. They could also check us out on Facebook, and they can give us a call directly at 330-683-2242. That's 330-683-2242.
Pastor Rich, what are your biggest needs right now?
The three greatest needs we have right now is, of course, number one is prayer. We need prayer. It takes a lot of different people working together to make this happen. We're 100% volunteer. That means that from myself down to the person volunteering for the very first time receives no money for doing this. And all the money goes right back into the organization to help with the food needs. So number one, prayer. Number two is, of course, donations. Our donations from the community have been incredible, but the need is growing as the cost of food goes up. And then third, but not least, is the need for volunteers, especially on Wednesday down at the food pantry from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. We need extra volunteers. We can get sometimes anywhere from 200 to 300 families on Wednesdays. So that's our big day, and we could always use extra help on Wednesday.
One more time, Pastor Rich, how can we find out more about Worcester Hope Center, make a donation, or find out more about volunteering?
And that would be worcesterhopecenter.org.